copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I was just reading in the Psalms this morning where it says that it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have made your law void. And if anyone made God's law void, it was Hitler. So it's kind of remarkable, perhaps, that atheists and skeptics routinely accuse Christianity of for Hitler's atrocities. See Hitler's atrocities and blame on Christianity, which, by the way, suggests that there is objective evil in the world. If they're going to try to make these, if they're going to get all worried about this too, which sort of is, it flies in the face of their own worldview anyway, which says there's no such thing as objective good or objective evil. But I'm not going to get into that today. But they skeptics typically raise two lines of argument about Nazism and Hitler. First of all, they try to blame Christian anti-Semitism, or they try to blame the Holocaust on Christian anti-Semitism. And the second point that they try to make is claiming that Hitler was a Christian and was doing his things out of Christian convictions. So I'm going to deal pretty quickly with the first one and then deal most of the time with the second one, which I've spent my whole book on Hitler's religion talking about. So how do we respond to this notion that of Christian anti-Semitism having produced the Holocaust? Well, first of all, we as Christians need to acknowledge that this was a problem in Christianity, at least as Christianity broadly defined, historically. That is, there was a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment, and not only in the Catholic Church throughout the Middle Ages, but Luther wrote a famous diatribe against the Jews toward the end of his life as well. So how do we respond to that? Well, one way to respond to it, I think, is to note that those that were purveying those kinds of ideas were completely contrary to the founding principles of Christianity, and thus it was a distorted, perverted kind of Christianity. In fact, Peter actually prophesied in 2 Peter that some people were going to become false teachers, and it says, because of them, the way of truth will be evil spoken of. So the idea is that there's going to be these false forms of Christianity that are going to be out there that are going to tarnish real Christianity, the real truth. And that's what we've seen happen precisely. But another response to that issue about Christian anti-Semitism is that Hitler's kind of anti-Semitism was not really a form of Christian anti-Semitism. Hitler embraced a secularized version of anti-Semitism, which only came into being in the middle of the 19th century as European thought was becoming more secularized during that time. The key difference and the key shift that was going to take place in the 19th century, by the way, the word anti-Semitism didn't even exist until the 19th century, mid-19th century, and it came about as a result of this secularized version of opposition to the Jews. And the way that it was different from the older form of anti-Jewish thought was that it focused on Jews as a race, not as a religion. So if you look back at like Luther and in the Middle Ages, Catholicism, their solution to what they called the Jewish problem was conversion. They should become Christians. You know, let the Jews come on in and join the Catholic Church or join the Lutheran Church. That would be the way that they thought the Jewish solution would be solved. However, Hitler thought that that was the worst thing that could possibly happen, would be for the Jews to convert to Christianity, because he saw the Jews not as a religion, but as a race. And so he thought there was something hereditary about being a Jew, and he thought that there was all these negative things hereditarily about being a Jew, because he thought that being a Jew is not just about, again, practicing your religion. He thought there's these bad moral traits that he thought were biologically passed on from generation to generation. So the idea was that Jews are deceitful. Jews are lascivious. Jews are greedy. You know, all these different negative stereotypes that had developed over the centuries about Jews, he thought those were biologically ingrained traits. And so the worst thing that could happen would be to convert to Christianity and import those biological traits into the German gene pool. And so here we see a Nazi poster, propaganda picture that has a picture of a Jew here, and apparently his wife. They're coming out of a church. He has a Bible, a rosary beads in his hand there. And the caption to that says, "Baptism did not make him a non-Jew." So the idea is you can't get rid of your Jewishness by converting and by becoming a Christian. And notice what the what he's doing also. He's sort of ogling these young ladies over here, sort of sending another signal about what the Jews are like in that particular propaganda piece. So Hitler did not want Jews to convert to Christianity. Also, if you look at Hitler's relationship to Judaism and such, he rejected the Old Testament altogether. Hitler even rejected the writings of Paul because he thought that the Apostle Paul was a sneaky Jewish rabbi who imported Jewish ideas into Christianity and corrupted it from the very start. So Hitler basically thought Christianity had been corrupted at the very beginnings. However, interestingly, Hitler did seem to have good things to say about Jesus. But his picture of Jesus was not the biblical picture of Jesus. His picture of Jesus was as an Aryan fighter against the Jews. How could he see Jesus as an Aryan fighter against the Jews? Well, for one thing, he didn't believe in the virgin birth, so he thought that Jesus had been fathered by a Roman soldier, and that had given him his Aryan blood. The story that he loved most about Jesus, and the story that he tells most if you read through Hitler's writings and speeches and such, the story that he tells most about Jesus was Jesus driving the Jews out of the temple. And so there he sees Jesus as a fighter. He's got a whip in his hand, and interestingly, here's a picture showing Hitler with a whip in his hand in his early days of his political career. I don't know if he's trying to pose as Jesus here and thinking of himself in that thing, but he may have been. But in any case, he saw that Jesus driving the money-grubbing Jews out of the temple, right? Why were the Jews in the temple that he was driving out? It's because they were doing business in the temple. And so he's, again, playing on these stereotypes of the Jews there. So from what I've already said, it should be perhaps apparent that there's some problems with Hitler's claim to be a Christian. So why then do atheists and skeptics then make this claim that Hitler was a Christian? Well, the simple answer is Hitler claimed to be a Christian. So the 25-point program of the Nazi Party, which was put out in 1919, right at the beginning of Hitler's political career in the National Socialist German Workers Party, what we often refer to as a Nazi Party, the 25-point program espoused what it called positive Christianity. Didn't really define what that meant, but it did make that statement. And then one of the favorite quotations of atheists and other skeptics is in April 1922 in a speech when Hitler called Jesus his Lord and Savior. Here's the direct quote: "My Christian feeling directs me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter." Notice the "as a fighter" part there again. He's seeing Jesus as a fighter. So he called Jesus his Lord and Savior there. And there were other places when he was campaigning politically he did the same kind of thing. Of course, we know that Hitler would never lie to us about something as important as religion. So, of course, he must have been a Christian, right? Well, there's some problems with that, so we'll get into this here. So here's another propaganda piece that Hitler used to try to show his connections with Christianity. So this is from a 1932 photograph. In 1932, Hitler was involved in political campaigns, both for the presidency and also for the Reichstag, the German parliament. And so as part of his campaigning, he was traveling all throughout Germany. And this particular event, he says the caption to this, "A photographic chance event becomes a symbol," which, by the way, makes me suspicious. It probably wasn't the chance event. It probably was staged. But in any case, you know, you get that cross right above him, that real bright-colored cross right above his head there. And then it says, "Adolf Hitler, the supposed heretic, leaving the Maria Kirche in Wilhelmshaven." Okay, so this is trying to make it clear. Look, Hitler's coming out of church. You would surmise perhaps he's just been to a church service. Coming out of the church there, you got this cross sort of giving this halo effect to Hitler. And in fact, interestingly, this photo graces the dust jacket of a book that tries to prove that the Nazis had close connections with Christianity and such. However, there's a couple number of problems with the idea that Hitler was a Christian, even despite this propaganda effort that he tried to show of it. First of all, Hitler often distanced himself from Christianity, both privately especially, but also even publicly at times he distanced himself from Christianity. And secondly, Hitler and his regime persecuted Christianity and tried to undermine its influence in a whole host of ways while Hitler was in power. So let me start with this first one about Hitler distancing himself from Christianity and criticizing it over the course of his career. Well, interestingly, this photo is very interesting. It has an interesting story with it that, in fact, I discovered as I was doing my research on this book. And here is what I found. In 1938, a new edition came out of Heinrich Hoffmann's book. Heinrich Hoffmann was Hitler's personal photographer, and Heinrich Hoffmann published these photos in his book called Hitler wie ihn keiner kennt, which means Hitler as no one knows him. And in the 1932 edition, the original edition, you have that cross above his head there. But then what I found is that in the 1938 edition, the cross is gone. And interestingly, when I first found that, I wasn't quite sure which was the original and which was the fake. In other words, I wasn't sure if they'd actually faked it here by putting that in or if they'd faked it by taking it out later. So I wrote to the Heinrich Hoffmann Archives, which is in Munich, and interestingly, they still have the negatives of these photographs in the archive there. And the archivist told me that the cross is in the original. The cross is in the negative. So this is the original way it looked. And I also had a photographer friend later on analyze it and was looking at it and very closely, blew it way up and found that, yeah, it was removed here from this one. So now, why did he remove the cross there? Well, it's pretty clear by 1938, Hitler's in power. He's been in power for 5 years. By that time, he no longer needs to pander to the German public like he did in 1932 before he came to power. And so it seems pretty clear that he's trying to distance himself from Christianity now that he no longer needs the support of the German public, who does have more of a Christian identity. Not only that, but they altered the caption, of course. The caption couldn't stay the same because the caption that went along with the original one had to do with that cross hovering over his head, his symbol, this symbol of Hitler, and called him the supposed heretic, you know, trying to distance himself from any kind of heresy or negativity toward Christianity. So here's the new caption. Adolf Hitler, after sightseeing at the historic Mariakirche in Wilhelmshaven. They spelled Mariakirche wrong both times, by the way. I don't know where they did that, but anyway. Anyway, in any case, after sightseeing. So they're making it clear he didn't go to a church service. He wasn't worshiping, you know, in the church there. He was sightseeing at this historic church there. And so again, trying to distance himself all the more from Christianity. Now, if we look at Hitler's entire life, what we'll find out is that he was alienated from Christianity from a very young age. The best scholarship about Hitler, even going back to his youth, suggests that even as a very young teenager, he was alienated from the Catholic Church that he was raised in. And as an adult, he never attended church services, with the exception of funerals and weddings on a few occasions. And even in those cases, there's one case where he attended a funeral mass in Berlin. And afterwards, Goebbels in his diary records that Hitler was scoffing at the funeral mass that he'd just been to and such. So Hitler was alienated from Catholicism. It's pretty clear from the very start. Also, in August 1924, when Hitler was in Landsberg prison after his beer hall putsch, his unsuccessful attempt to overthrow the Bavarian government, and he spent almost a year, or a little over a year rather, in prison. During that time, Rudolf Hess, one of his closest colleagues who was spending time in jail with him, had a conversation about religion with some of his fellow inmates. There were a number of fellow Nazis that were there because of the beer hall putsch and such. Hitler stayed aloof from the conversation, but after the conversation was over, Hitler had a private conversation with Hess, and Hess records this in a letter that he wrote to his wife right after it took place. Hitler told Hess that he had to camouflage his anti-Christian sentiments for the sake of political tactics. And so it's pretty clear that, you know, Hitler, any time he was expressing his support for Christianity, that it was purely a political tactic. It was used for propaganda purposes. And in fact, in Mein Kampf itself, he actually discusses this point and remarks that a particular Austrian politician whom Hitler had known about when he was living in Vienna, Hitler was in Vienna from 1907 to 1913, a guy named Georg von Schönerer had been a prominent pan-German politician there, and Hitler remarks in Mein Kampf that Schirner basically had the right ideology, but he had bad political tactics. And one of the bad political tactics that Hitler specifically remarks on was that Schirner led a campaign against the Catholic Church. It was called the Los von Rom movement, the Free from Rome movement. And his political career took a tailspin once Schirner did that. So Hitler said, we need to avoid that. You know, we don't want to attack religion. We don't want to attack Catholicism or Christianity and such. However, interestingly, there are even a few times when Hitler does sort of divulge his anti-Christian attitude in his writings and speeches. So let me just give one example among many. In the second volume of Mein Kampf, after in the first volume he'd already said we shouldn't, you know, we need to be careful about criticizing Christianity. In the second volume, there is actually a passage where he does criticize Christianity. And I'll read you the passage here. It says, a philosophy filled with infernal intolerance, and here he's talking about Christianity, especially Catholicism, but he says a philosophy filled with infernal intolerance will only be broken by a new idea, driven forward by the same spirit, championed by the same mighty will, and at the same time pure and absolutely genuine in itself. The individual may establish with pain today that with the appearance of Christianity, the first spiritual terror entered into the far freer ancient world. So here he calls Christianity the first spiritual terror to enter the freer ancient world. And then he goes on to say, but he will not be able to contest the fact that since then, the world has been afflicted and dominated by this coercion. It's afflicted and dominated, you know, by Christianity. And then he goes on to say that coercion is broken only by coercion, and terror only by terror. So he's actually promising he's going to persecute the church here. I'm going to use terror and coercion to break the coercion of the church. So this, as well as many other ways, and again, that was Hitler sort of tipping his hand there. He doesn't make those kind of statements very often, but occasionally it does come to the surface. There were also other kinds of ways over the course of time that Hitler was going to associate himself with an anti-Christian kind of mentality. So, for example, here's Hitler in 1934 at the Nietzsche Archive. And Hitler actually contributed a lot of his own personal funds to the Nietzsche Archive in Weimar. He visited it several times. And here's one of the times that he visited it. And this is, again, his personal photographer, Heinrich Hoffmann, took this photo and published it, of Hitler across. There's Nietzsche, a bust of Nietzsche there, and Hitler across from it. And so Hitler is wanting this association with Nietzsche, who, of course, was famous for his God is dead dictum. So it's no surprise to anyone that he's associated with atheism. So Hitler was wanting to cultivate this association with Nietzsche, despite the fact that Nietzsche was obviously anti-Christian. If you also look at Goebbels' diaries and Rosenberg's diaries, two of Hitler's close associates who spent a lot of time with him, they remark quite often about Hitler's anti-Christian attitudes and conversations. And then also, in Hitler's monologues, there's a lot of anti-Christian material. Now, here there's an interesting story here in terms of the atheists. And if you confront people who are atheists or skeptics, you might come up against people who will say, well, those aren't really reliable. And the reason they will say that about these monologues is because the English translation is based upon some unreliable manuscripts. However, there's two German editions which are reliable, and those are the ones that I use in my scholarship, and they're every bit as anti-Christian as the English edition, interestingly. There's just as much anti-Christian stuff that Hitler says in the original German editions as in the original English edition. So the English edition is not reliable and shouldn't be used if you're trying to use that against with skeptics. But the German editions are worthwhile. And you can get some, again, in my book, Hitler's Religion, I have a lot of quotes from it and such if you don't read German. But let me just give you just a real quick sampling of a couple of things, or one particular passage from there. But again, this is actually a very common and frequent topic of conversation. Hitler talked about religion a lot, if you read his monologues during the days of the war. So here's just one example. On December 13th, 1941, Hitler was giving this monologue where he was mocking Christian teachings. He mocked teachings about the fall, the virgin birth, redemption through the death and crucifixion of Jesus, He mocks all these Christian doctrines. And then he said this, and I got the whole quote up there exactly for you. So, Christianity is the most insane thing that a human brain in its delusion has ever brought forth. A mockery of everything divine. Okay, so there's a quotation from Hitler's monologue. That's my translation of the German edition. But it's a very clear rejection of Christianity. And if you look at all of Hitler's associates who had close connections with him and who spent time with him, I already mentioned Goebbels and Rosenberg, but others as well, they all claimed that he rejected Christianity. His secretary wrote memoirs and such, and they all remark about his rejection of Christianity and how often he talked about this in his monologues. Okay, so that's one pretty strong line of evidence to show Hitler was not a Christian. But then my second point is that Hitler persecuted Christianity once he came to power. And so that's another extremely important point. Now, Hitler was pretty cautious at the beginning. As I already told you in Mein Kampf, he said we don't want to alienate people. We need to be careful for propaganda purposes. So he's very cautious, but he tried first to bring the churches under control as best he could in the very earliest phases. So the way he did this, with the German church had two main branches. The main branch of the Protestant church or Lutheran church, mainly Lutheran, but some Reformed elements in it. But the Protestant church, the way he tried to bring that under control was by appointing a unified Reich bishop, a bishop who was over the entire German church. Now, before that time, there was no unified German bishop. There were bishops in all the different state churches, in all the different German states, since Germany's a federal state like the United States, for example. There were different bishops over different parts of Germany. So he tried to unify it under one bishop, and that bishop that he was able to help get elected, and Hitler actually intervened in the church elections, giving a radio speech and having his SA troops out there on the front lines of trying to influence the church elections. He got a man appointed to that bishop position who was very sympathetic with Nazism and was basically promoting a lot of Nazi ideology in the churches. So that's how he tried to bring the Protestant church under control. It actually didn't work as well as he'd hoped because a group splintered off called the Confessing Church that came out in opposition to the Nazis. But he tried to bring it under control as much as he could. With the Catholic Church, the other main church in Germany, he signed a concordat, which is an agreement with the Vatican, to try to keep the Catholics from exercising any political activities and doing any kind of things politically, and then he promised from his side that he would leave them alone and they could appoint their own leaders, they could have their schools, they could have their church, they have their youth organizations and such. But Hitler constantly violated the Concordat over the next several years. And so they closed Catholic schools. Here's a poster. This one actually just encouraging, but later they're actually just going to close them down. This poster says, Adolf Hitler's youth go to public school. In other words, they don't go to private parochial school. Most of the private schools were parochial schools, mostly Catholic. So he's basically trying to say, you know, stop sending your kids to the Catholic schools. Later they just shut down a lot of those Catholic schools. So first they tried to encourage them away from it. Then they just closed them down when they thought they could get away with it. They also banned Protestant and Catholic youth organizations, despite the fact the Concordat had said that they were going to allow them to run their youth organizations. They banned their youth organizations, and everyone had to join the Hitler Youth to bring them into propaganda. In fact, in the early phases, too, before they actually out and out banned the Catholic and Protestant youth organizations, they would very often have Hitler Youth meetings on Sunday mornings. You know, so you couldn't attend church services. They had to go to the Hitler Youth meetings. And such. There are all sorts of ways they were trying to sort of cut down on the influence of Christianity and persecute him in whatever ways Hitler thought he could get away with without becoming too unpopular at the time. Another thing they did in 1937, they arrested hundreds of Protestant church pastors who had become part of the Confessing Church and were coming in opposition to Nazi church policies. They also were going to arrest many Catholic priests as well, especially in the late 1930s and on to the early 1940s. So again, trying to eliminate anyone that would pose any kind of opposition to the regime, and including the regime's attempt to dominate the church. Another thing they tried to do was to de-Christianize various festivals like Christmas, for example. Hitler's press chief, Otto Dietrich, claimed that Hitler hated Christmas, and so that he would very often go out driving just to get away from the festivities and get away from what was going on in Christmas. And if you look at some of the Christmas propaganda that the Nazis put out, during World War II, they actually put out these books that were called Kriegsweihnachtsbücher, so war Christmas books. And in these books, you won't find any mention of Jesus. There's no mention of anything religious in there at all. There's a lot of candles and trees and family stuff and German lore and all sorts of things like that. There's nothing about religion, nothing about Jesus in there. So trying to bring wean the Germans away from their festivals and sort of to re-paganize them in essence. And they sort of claimed that that all these things had come originally from pagan festivals anyway, so let's sort of re-paganize it in certain ways. Here's actually one of the frontispieces from one of the Christmas books that they put out. Here's a saying from Adolf Hitler in that book, which says, "All of nature is a violent struggle between strength and weakness, an eternal victory of the strong over the weak." So this is pretty much giving Hitler's social Darwinist spin on, you know, the nature favoring the strong over the weak, and we as Germans, he thought, are going to triumph in this war by being strong over the weak. You know, this is not exactly peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right? Which would be the Christian Christmas message, or Silent Night, or something like that. So this is what was being purveyed as Christmas, a Christmas message there. There were all sorts of other ways that the Nazis tried to persecute Christianity. So, for example, during World War II, Hitler ordered that all military chaplains, and he didn't remove, he did allow the military to have chaplains. There was a lot of officers in the military who would have been in opposition to Hitler removing the chaplains, so he allowed them to have their chaplains, although the Air Force, by the way, did not have chaplains because they were under Goering, and so the Air Force did not institute chaplains once they reinstituted the Air Force in Germany. But he ordered all of the chaplains to be placed in the front lines, as far forward as possible. And this order of Hitler's actually came to be known as the Uriah Order. So after Uriah, who David had put out in the heat of the battle so that Uriah would die. And so it was the same purpose. Hitler was wanting these chaplains to die in battle. And so he's putting all these chaplains out in the front of the battle to hope as many of them as possible are going to get killed. And by the way, they also did conscript the pastors and priests, especially young pastors and priests in Germany during that time too, hoping, again, to get as many of them out on the front as possible and away from doing any kind of a Christian ministry. Another interesting evidence for Hitler's persecution of Christianity and trying to sort of undermine the impact and influence of Christianity is that during World War II, Hitler was very interested in architecture and rebuilding of German cities. As German cities were being destroyed, Hitler had some architect friends like Speer, who he hung out with a lot, and they actually made these models of different German cities, especially Berlin, and how they're going to rebuild these cities after the war. But there was one thing that was missing from all these plans that they were developing of their rebuilt cities. No churches. They weren't going to rebuild any churches in Germany that got bombed out during the war unless they had very, very important architectural significance. So again, another indication that they're trying to undermine the powers of Christianity and the church. Now, if Hitler then was not a Christian, then what was he? What did he believe? Okay, I don't have a lot of time to get into this and defend this, so I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time on this, but again, you can look at my book later if you're interested in more depth here. But I will say that there is no evidence that Hitler was an atheist. Some Christians say, oh, Hitler was an atheist, you know, because he rejected Christianity. And says, but that's not necessarily the only option. There are other options available. And in my book, Hitler's Religion, I go through the different options that were available to German thinkers at the time. Hitler did seem to believe in some kind of higher power of some sort or other. Not necessarily a personal God, a personal being. In fact, he certainly rejected a personal afterlife. One time in his monologues, he was talking about the afterlife. And he said the afterlife is just being reabsorbed back into the cosmos. And that sort of reinforces my position of where I believe Hitler came out. Let me say one other thing before I get to that. He also rejected occultism. Hitler was not into the occult. A lot of people think, Nazism was into occultism and paganism. Well, some of the Nazis were. Rosenberg was. Hess was. Himmler was. Hitler and Goebbels were not. They rejected the occult. In fact, they actually persecuted occultists and ordered the arrest of astrologers and clairvoyants in 1941. So I'm arguing that Hitler was a pantheist. He believed that nature was God. And there are a number of lines of reasons why I believe this. If you read Mein Kampf very carefully, he does seem to deify nature. In fact, interestingly, the translators of Mein Kampf always capitalize the word nature in a lot of contexts in the book. Now, in German, we don't know if Hitler would have done that necessarily, because in German you capitalize all nouns. So he would, of course, capitalize nature. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. But it's interesting that the translators all thought, and there's a number of translations, there's not just one translation, there's a number of translations, they all capitalize nature. I mean, the translators certainly thought that he was deifying nature, at least personifying nature. However, there's a lot of other lines of evidence, too. Hitler, in one of his monologues, talked about the Pürstlingberg Church in Linz, Austria. He'd lived in Linz, Austria, so he knew about this church. It's sitting up there on a hill. And Hitler said that they should destroy this church. Again, there's his anti-Christianity coming out. And build a planetarium on that site, an observatory. And then people, instead of coming to a church, could come to pilgrimage to view the cosmos and see the wonders and beauty of nature and the cosmos. And here's what he said that people should learn when they came there. He said this, quote, "A person can comprehend this and that, but he cannot dominate nature. He must know that he is a being dependent on the creation." So we're dependent on nature. His secretary once said, quote, "Hitler considered the Christian religion an outdated, hypocritical, and human ensnaring institution. His religion was the laws of nature." And I believe she hit the nail on the head there. So there's a lot of lines of evidence then that suggest that Hitler thought that nature was God. And because of that, and I don't have time to go into this in a lot of detail, but I will just give you one example of this. Hitler thought that natural laws were divine commands that should guide our lives. And so he built his morality around the laws of nature. And the laws of nature they thought were the most important were the Darwinian struggle for existence. And here's a shot showing you a school poster from the Nazi period that says at the top, "Elimination of the sick and weak in nature." That's this top part here. And then you see the pictures here of a raptor who has killed a hare. And you see a sickly tree that a man is getting ready to chop down. And then it says at the bottom, "Whatever cannot withstand the demands of existence is destroyed." And interestingly, the explanation for what the teacher was supposed to say with this poster, this was supposed to be a justification of the compulsory sterilization program of the Nazis, which was supposed to get rid of defective heredity and such. But I find it very interesting that both of these examples involve death, not sterilization, and sort of presage what was going to happen later, because in 1939, Hitler actually does introduce a campaign to kill people with disabilities, and they killed about 200,000 Germans with disabilities, as well as we don't even know how many tens of thousands in occupied territories that they killed in addition to that. People with disabilities as a result of their ideas that we need to get rid of the weak, get rid of the sick, one way or another. So he believes that nature is sort of determining that he believes that we need to help out nature by getting rid of the weak and sick, which nature does anyway on its own, but we can sort of drive it forward faster. So this gives us some idea then of Hitler's religious views of pantheism, and makes very clear that when we're talking with people about Hitler and his religious views, that he really didn't have anything close to a Christian mindset, despite the many many people thinking that he did. Okay, thank you for your attention. Okay, well, thank you for being here.